Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Wish everyone a happy Sunday. We thank God that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank God for bringing us from last Sunday to this Sunday. Truly God has been good, and He has continued to bless our going out and our coming in. He has continued to put food on our tables, continued to put a roof over our head, continue to give us a reasonable portion of health and strength. And so we have a lot to be thankful for today. We have a lot to be thankful because when He woke us up this morning, we were in our right mind. We were able to clothe ourselves. We were able to put one foot in front of the other. And as the old deacon would say, the blood was still running warm in our veins. And so we give God the honor, the glory, and the praise today, because truly God has been good. And if you look back over your life just this past week and see what God has brought you through, the ups and the downs, the challenges, the heartaches, the pains, the struggles, but in all of those things, we can truly say that all of our good days outweigh our bad days, and we really should not complain because the Lord has been good. I think I'm going to say that one more time. The Lord has been good. And so we just need to give God a hand clap of praise this morning. We just need to give Him a sacrifice of praise because God truly has been good. In spite of my shortcomings, in spite of the things that I came through this week, in spite of the challenges, in spite of the aches and the pains, in spite of all the things that I've been through, I still have joy. And I still have a praise in my spirit. And as long as I've got a praise in my spirit, I'm going to praise our God, because truly He's worthy to be praised. The songwriter said, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, that His name is worthy to be praised. And so we're going to give Him a sacrifice of praise this morning, that I'm going to praise Him even if my back hurts. I'm going to praise Him even if I got a headache. I'm going to praise Him even if I have more bills than money. I'm going to praise Him even though my wife and my kids and my husband don't understand. I'm going to praise Him even if I don't know how I'm going to make it. I know I never would have made it without the Lord Jesus on my side. So I'm going to give Him a sacrifice of praise. I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise will continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together, because the Lord is good and greatly to be praised. Amen. And so sometimes you got to get yourself in the mode of praise. And sometimes when you get yourself in the mode of praise, you got to look back over your life and you've got to see the things that God has done, is doing, and is going to continue to do in your life. And when you begin to start thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, your soul begins to get happy. It begins to cry out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. It begins to get in a place where no matter what the situation or the circumstance is, that you begin to give God the praise. You begin to start lifting up the name of Jesus. You begin to start saying with a pure heart, amen, that God is my rock, that God is my salvation, that God is my light, that God is my salvation, that God is my strong tower, that God is my buckler, that God is the one that lifts my head above my enemies, that God is my refuge in a time of storm. And so when we begin to start thinking about those things, what happens is you can't help but to praise God. Songwriter said I wasn't going to say anything, wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself because of the goodness of the Lord. And so that's who we come to worship today. That's who we've come to serve today. That's who we've come to lift up today. We've come to lift him up. The songwriter said, and I lifted up from the earth, talking about Jesus, that he would draw all men unto himself. And so we want to continue to lift him up, that he would draw those that don't know him in the free pardoning of their sins unto him. Amen. So we thank God today. We're going to open up with a word of prayer this morning, and we're going to ask that Reverend Sykes would lead us in prayer this morning. Good morning, Reverend Sykes. Will you lead us in prayer this morning?
Good morning, Pastor. Let us pray. Father God, it's in the name of Jesus that we come this morning thanking you for another opportunity to praise you. We gather together this morning, Father, to invoke the presence of your Holy Spirit into this worship experience on this morning. Father God, we bless your name and we praise your name on this morning. Thank you for being our shield and our buckler. Thank you for being our provider. Thank you for being our healer. Thank you for being our shepherd and our deliverer. Lord, you are our strength and weakness. You are our light and darkness. You're everything to us, Father God. Great is your faithfulness unto us. Well, Father, we come this morning, Father God, knowing that we have sinned and we have fallen short, Father God. And so, Father God, we pray and ask for forgiveness of any sins that we have committed in word, deed, thought, action, or reaction, that you would create within all of us clean hearts and renew the right spirit within us. And Father God, we come this morning, Father, lifting up mankind everywhere. We come this morning lifting up the world and the nation this morning. Touch the hearts of your people this morning, Father God. Touch their minds and their spirits this morning, Father God. We pray this morning, Father, for all pastors. We pray for all churches. We pray for all communities this morning. We pray for all families and bereaved families this morning, including the family of Sister Sprout and Deacon Anita Bryce this morning. We pray, Father God,
yes,
for all of your servant leaders this morning, Father God. We pray, Father God, for those whose spirits are wounded this morning, Father God. We pray this morning for those that are in leadership, Father God. Oh, God, we just pray this morning, Father God, for everyone this morning, even our senior citizens this morning, Father, and those that are in hospitals and nursing homes this morning, Father. And, Father, we know that you are a prayer-answering God, Father God. So we're going to praise you, God, in spite of whatever we might be going through, whatever we might have been through, whatever we might be going through in the future. We're going to praise you in spite of, Father God, because we love you and we adore you. And we know that you are a prayer-answering God. There's no failure in you, Father God, because you cannot fail, Father God. And so we give you honor and we give you glory and we give you praise on this day, Father God, for this is the day that you have made. We will and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we will continue to hold on to your unchanging hand, Father God, because there is none like you, Father God. You are the great I am, Father God. You are great and greatly to be praised, Father. And so, Father God, we thank you, and we come this morning with an attitude of gratitude this morning, Father God, just thanking you for your many blessings. Just thanking you for your love and your kindness and your grace and your mercy. Just thanking you, Father God, for wiping the tears from our eyes, Father God, that we have to shed sometimes, Lord Jesus, in the midnight hour, Father God, when there's nobody else there but you, God. But you're there to wipe away every tear, God, that we shed, Father God. And we thank you for those tears, Father God, because we know, Father God, that you've given us, Father God, tear ducts, so they can be a release mechanism for us, Father God. And so, God, we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise, and we say hallelujah to your name this morning, Father God, because you and you alone are worthy, Father God, and we give you honor and glory this morning. And, Father, we ask all of these petitions in the mighty and matchless and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. We thank Reverend Sykes for that fervent prayer this morning. We just thank God for being there for us. I'm going to say that one more time. We just thank God for being there for us. I thank God for being there for us, and that God has always been true to his word, that he said he would never leave us. I'm going to say that again. He would never leave us nor forsake us. And that God has been there every step of the way. And so we just thank him for being a prayer answering God, for being there for us every step of the way. We're going to go and we're going to ask, amen, that you would sing a song with us this morning before we go to our phone lines. And there's a song, and as I go back through this hymnal, our Baptist hymnal, so many songs that take us back or take me back to the times when we were little and when we were growing up and our parents would take us to church, and sometimes we didn't want to go to church, and sometimes we fight that thing, and sometimes they had to get to our seat of our understanding, if you know what I mean. And we would be sitting in church, and sometimes you want to act up in church and you get a little pinch on your leg, and sometimes you be sitting in church, you get a little eye looking your way, and sometimes you get a mumble on your breath. Don't let me have to take you out of here and get to your seat of your understanding. And, you know, all during those times when we were growing up in church and when we were going to worship and really didn't know all of what was going on, and we'd go to Sunday school, and then sometimes we come back into worship, and we would hear the saints of the old school. I mean, they would sing and they would have a good time, and the lady over there get happy and the deacon over there get happy, and we would laugh and we would joke about how they would act and really didn't understand. Amen. And sometimes we would mock the deacon's prayer, and sometimes we would mock the way so-and-so sat or so-and-so sang or what the preacher said, and we would go through these different things, but we was in worship, and we were in the worship, and we didn't really understand. But now that you've gotten a little older, Lord have mercy, now that you understand the trials and tribulations that people were going through back then, I'm going to say that again, you understand the trials and the tribulations that people were going through back then. In other words, you didn't understand as a kid that people were going through difficult times, that people were going through difficult things in their lives, whether it was in their own family or someone else's family or extended family or on their jobs, and all the things that were happening in society and in the news and what they had to go through. And so when it came to Sunday morning, good God from Zion, they were able to get a release, a little outlet, if you will, to be able to praise and worship God, to be able to, for that particular moment, give God the praise in spite of what was going on, and in spite of what the circumstance was, they were able to give God the praise. And in the midst of that, us not knowing, they practiced this thing on a regular basis that we called old-time religion, amen? And that old-time religion was good enough, amen, to get them through. And so there's a song in the old Baptist hymnal, and it's called Old-Time Religion. And if you have that hymnal, it's hymn number 505. And the chorus starts off talking about 'tis the old-time religion, 'tis the old-time religion, 'tis the old-time religion, and it's good enough for me. And the first verse says, it was good enough for our mothers. It was good enough for our mothers. It was good enough for our mothers, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. In other words, the same God, come on now, the saints that praised God back then through difficult times, the same old-school saints, praise God and made it through that same type of religion, that same type of old religion. It was good enough for mama. It was good enough for daddy. And sure enough, today is good enough for me to help us to get through this time. And so in spite of all that you're going through, we can still sing, give me that old time religion. So let us sing a little bit of that today before we hear your testimony. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for my mother. It was good for my mother. It was good for my mother, and is good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It would make me love everybody. Yes, it makes me love everybody. Yes, it makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for my father. It was good for my father. It was good for my father. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time time religion. It's good enough for me. Amen. Thank God for those songs, amen, that they would sing. They would get happy. They would praise God. They would understand that the same God, come on now, that blessed my mama to make it through is the same God that's going to bless me to make it through. The same God that blessed my father to make it through is the same God that's going to allow me to make it through. The same God, come on now, great God from Zion, that blessed me on last year to be able to make it through the headaches and the pain and the heartache and the sickness and all those things that allowed me to hold down and go down, but God kept me that I didn't go all the way down. It was the same God, that same God that kept me is the same God that's going to keep me and keep you today. And it's the same God that has blessed us generation after generation after generation with that old time religion. And if it was good enough back then, come on now, it's sure enough good enough right now. We're going to go to the phone line, and we're going to ask those that have a testimony that they would give their testimony this morning. Amen? So we're going to go to our first caller, our last four digits, 1741. 1741, good morning.
Good morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I thank God for the old hymns and carried me back. I could hear my mama singing. I could be in Union Bethel AME Church, and that was one of the songs that we sung as children. Give me this old-time religion. And another song we sung was This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine. And them was the songs that got you through. We didn't understand them back during that time. And like you said, Pastor, we would laugh, and sometimes we'd go home and we'd poke fun. But, you know, I praise God this morning. I praise God that my parents carried me to church, and they were there with me, and they taught me about Jesus. Because on this journey, if it had not been for them telling me about the Lord, where would I be today? Now. So I thank God for the blessing. I thank God that when I can hear these hymns, that I can rejoice in Him, because I know that God is able to see me through. Hallelujah to His name. And the song that I want to share with the saints this morning is a little bit of Psalm 27. It says here, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. And this is a song of David. And in verse 13, David said, I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And he encouraged our heart with the word of God this morning. He said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then it was another verse, Isaiah 41 and 10, that God put in my spirit this morning that he want me to share with the saints too. Because so much is going on, there's fires on the west and there's water down in the south and on the east coast. It's just so much going on in the land. It's sickness, it's plagues, it's diseases. And if we go back to the Old Testament, we see these things coming to fall. But God wants his people to know, do not be weary, do not faint. I have not forsaken thee. And so in Isaiah 41 and 10, he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And we have the promises of God for the people of God. God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 3504. 3504, you're on the air.
Good morning, everybody. You know, just grateful to hear everybody's voices. So far, you know, God is amazing. You know, even whatever that we do go through, God is still God, and he is still greatly to be praised, you know. Just want to say, you know, all good over here. You know, God is still amazing. We definitely was going through a little bit last week, but that doesn't even matter now, you know. God is, like I say, he's still amazing. So I'm just grateful to be on the line, you know, and everybody have a blessed week.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We can go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 3598. 3598, good morning.
God bless, praise God, from all blessings flow. praise Him, Father, yes, Son, and the precious Holy Ghost. To everyone is on the line, the pastor, pastor family, church family. They tell you there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Be blessed.
Amen. For your testimony this morning, we can go to our First Lady. Good morning, First Lady.
Good morning, everyone. First, give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I remember playing in church. Me and my sister, at one point in our time, my mom didn't go to church with us, but my stepfather would drop us off at church. So once he would pull off, me and my sister, we would gather with our friends, and we go down to the corner store, and we would stay there. Sometimes we stayed there the whole time church for church, and then one time we decided we're going to stay too long, and we get back, and church is over, and who was sitting there waiting for us but my stepfather? Me and my sister, oh, we got in some trouble then, but God is good through it all. You know, we learned, and he was patient with us. But I thank the Lord for all of his opportunities. I thank him for all of his blessings. He has surely showed me that regardless of what we go through, things are going to be all right. And I would just like to add to our prayer list. As soon as I get her name, Noah's grandmother, Mac's mother's not doing well, but as soon as I get her name, I will let everyone know. And I also would like to ask prayer for my brother Antonio Poindexter. He's going in for surgery on September the 24th, but I know God is good and it's already all right. You all have a blessed week. And I love you all. Bye-bye.
Amen. Thank you, First Lady. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 3343. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, good Lord, to hear the old-time religion. I remember so many times coming on up with my grandmama on the old front porch. We all going for the church. Yeah, that we started going down the road in the country. Started singing a song, going to church in the morning, and stayed with me to 114 years. She stayed there all the time when she left here. And I felt that morning, this morning, trying to get up with putting your feet one in front of the other and trying to get up because of the pain. Always try to keep in the devil, try to lay you down. But said, no, we get on time on the line and wait for the church to come on in. We all going to church this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Our last four digits, 4629. 4629, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to hear everybody on the line. Once again, thank God for continuing to bring us through another week. My testimony this week, me and Jamal were just talking, but Minister Jamal, I'm sorry. But we were talking about favor and how God has favor on us, and he continues to show that he's going to keep us, and that if we stay with him, he's going to continue to favor us. So let everybody keep that in mind, and I pray that everybody has a great week.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 6947. 6947. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to say it's good to hear everybody's voice. Glad we all have made it through another week, and that as long as we stay focused on what God has for us, we're going to be all right.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. definitely go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 7971. 7971, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor, First Lady, and a lot of God, church members. It's a blessing to be able to wake up this morning in my right mind, and then for you to bring up the old hymns. It takes me back home when we were kids, that it left an impact on us, and it made you think about God's scripture where it says he has given us the authority, we as parents, over our children, and to guide them and show them. And you think of children as little ones, but we still mm-hmm. have authority as they are older. And I thank God mm-hmm. that he has allowed my child to be here with me, and me being able to minister to her, and she hasn't forgotten the things that her father and I spiritually implanted in her spirit. And she always tells me, Mama, I remember what, this is what you told me, but I always say, refer back to God's word. By his word, know it for yourself, know God's word for yourself. And it's a blessing to be able to be anxious to get on this line every Sunday, knowing that we're going to hear God's word, we're going to hear the old hymns, we're going to live the Christ-like life that God wants us to live. It's a blessing to have to be in the presence of God and his people this morning. I thank God for you all. I pray that all goes well for Deacon Bryce and her family. And let us always remember that God is with us always. We're never alone. And we just be obedient, be patient, and wait on him. We will always be doing the right thing as far as God is concerned. You all be blessed. Have a blessed day. And God bless you all.
Amen.
Good morning. Heart of God Baptist Church. I just want to thank God for waking me up this morning in a sound mind and healthy body. I pray for the entire day. We talk about waking up in the morning, but praying that we get through the entire day. It's a blessing as well. I want to thank God for protecting my family here in Maryland, as well as my family in Atlanta. I'll be leaving pretty soon, and I pray for safe travels back to my home in Atlanta. But it, as a whole, sometimes you just want to just say thank you. And that sums it pretty much up. You don't have to have a whole lot of words, but you do have to be sincere in saying thank you for the blessings that have been granted to you. So I just want to say, everyone, be blessed this week, and have a wonderful day.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor and First Lady. It's always good to hear your voices. It's uplifting for me to be on this line every Sunday. I just say, to God be the glory for all the things that he has done for me during this time of this pandemic and even before then, because he has truly been a blessing to me. I know you all wonder why I say this, almost the same thing every Sunday, but God is just so good. He is just a great God. And I thank him for this day, this morning. And I've had a few little trials during this time. And I just have to thank and praise him for it. And I like doing it openly. I pray every day, all day. But I like to pray and witness to you all to let you know that I have good days, good times, but then too, I have some bad ones, but he has blessed me through it, and I just thank God for it. So everyone have another blessed week, and to God be the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all for your testimony this morning. We go to our next worshiper. Last four digits is 0025. 0025, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Truly, I too praise God this morning, for truly God is truly amazing. And so I just thank God for all of the many blessings that he has bestowed upon me as an individual, my family, my church family. For truly, God has assured me, as he has assured all of us, that he will keep us in perfect peace if we keep our minds stayed on him. And so I just thank God for his peace today. I thank him for his love. I just thank God because God just keeps on showing himself mightily, not only in my life, but in all of our lives. So I just thank God, and I just give him glory, honor, and praise this morning for who he is and for what he is, not only in my life, but in all of our lives. Have a blessed day.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We are grateful for everyone that's on the line, on the internet, on Facebook, and so many ways that we've been blessed to be able to reach out during this pandemic time. We were able to continue to worship and praise God, and we just want to just continue to stay in that mode of praise. And before we go to the word today, we just want to have a word of prayer. I ask that you will focus your hearts and your mind, that we will go to the Lord in prayer, that you will remember those loved ones that are going through, whether it is for a bereaved family or whether it was someone that's ill or someone going through a situation in their lives, and know that God is a prayer answering God, and that God knows all about it, and that he is the one who can do something about it. A lot of times people know about situations, but need to turn to the one that can do something about the situation. And so just remember that God is the one that can do something about the situation, and that's who we go to in prayer. And so we'll ask that you will bow your heads and that you will focus your hearts and your mind. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for this day, and we thank you for your new mercies on today. And God, we thank you for how you continue to bless us from day to day. And well, God, even in the midst of the trials and the tribulation, that through the power of your spirit, oh God, that you have continued to give us a spirit of praise. God, we thank you that on the inside, God, we have the Holy Spirit that allows us to be able to communicate with you. And oh God, when our lives get troubled sometimes, that even in the midst of the trouble, your Holy Spirit generates a plea unto you. Oh God, that even when we don't know what to pray for or what to ask, that your Spirit prays for us. Oh God, we thank you, God, for that connection that we have with you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, God, we stand today just to say thank you. We thank you for all the many blessings that you have poured out on us down through the years. And, oh, God, if we were to look back over our lives and we had 10,000 tongues, God, we would not be able to thank you enough. Because truly, God, you have been through us, been good with us, been through and been with us down through the years. God, you've been good to us. You've been mighty good. And, oh, God, we say thank you. God, we thank you when we had the tears running down our eyes. You were there to wipe away the tears. Oh, God, we thank you that when we had sleepless nights, God, you were there to rock us in the cradle of your arms. And, oh, God, we were anxious, God. You were there to help settle us down. And, oh, God, we thank you that when we were worried about our loved ones, God, you were there to let us know that everything was going to be all right. So, God, we just say thank you this morning. God, we thank you, God, that when we were small, you took care of us. And, oh, God, as we get older, you're still taking care of us. And, oh, God, like the psalmist declared, that we've been young and we've been old, but we've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. And so, God, we thank you, oh, God, that you have kept us down through the years, that you have continued to make ways out of no way. God, we thank you, God, that when our body was sick, you were our healer, God. And, oh, God, when we need food on our table, God, you are our provider. Oh, God, we thank you that you're still Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And so, Father, we said thank you. And, oh, God, sometimes we've fallen short of your glory and we've sinned and messed up. But, God, when we cried out to you and asked you for forgiveness, oh, God, we thank you that you were faithful and just and that you forgave us and you cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And so, God, we say thank you. God, we thank you for your forgiveness. God, we thank you for looking past our faults and seeing our needs. Oh, God, we thank you. Oh, God, when we wouldn't do right, that you had patience on us. And, oh, God, you gave us enough grace and you gave us enough mercy that we were able to come back to you. And so, God, we thank you this morning for your grace and we thank you for your mercy. Oh, God, we come on behalf of the sick and the shut-in and the bereaved family. Oh, God, you know what they stand in the need of. One needs one thing and one needs another. But, God, we thank you that you are the one that can provide all our needs according to your riches and glory. And so, God, we thank you, God, that you are the God that changes not. And, oh, God, if you did it before, you can do it again. And so we say thank you, God. We give you a praise in advance, God. We praise that you would help the bereaved family. God, we pray for the Sproul and the Bryce family. God, we pray for all of the ones that might be sick and going through their bodies. God, we pray, God, that you would send the word, God, that would help comfort them and help ease the pain and help them to be able to make it through. God, we pray that you would continue to pour out your grace and your mercy, that whatever they may be going through or whatever they stand in the need of, God, that they would find you as the grace that is sufficient, that you are the all-sufficient Savior, that whatever we stand in the need of, God, that you would continue to make ways out of no way. And, oh, God, that you would continue to time after time show yourself strong and mighty and help us to realize, God, that when we are weak, that's when you're strong. And, oh, God, if the enemy comes in like a flood, God, we pray that you would lift the standard, God, that you would allow us to be able to stand up above our enemies round about us, God, that you would hide us in the secret place of your tabernacle, God, that we would be able to say like the psalmist, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, we pray, God, that we can continue to press on and see what the end going to be. Help us to understand, God, that we can do all things through Christ that gives us the strength. God, we thank you for your word today, God. We thank you, God, that you're true to your word. And, God, we understand that if you be for us, you can be more than the whole world against us. If you be for us, who could be against us? And we thank you this morning, God, that you are the one that is our strong tower, that you are our battle axe, that you are the one that is our banner, that you are the one that continues to provide for us, that you are the one that we can lean on in the time of struggle, that we can turn to in the time of need. God, we thank you, God, that when we can't make it any longer, that you'll pick us up and you'll help us to be able to stand. And, oh, God, when we have done all to stand, you help us to stand some more. And so, God, we thank you, for truly you have been our God. You have been our help, and you have been our hope, and you have been our dwelling place. And, oh, God, we just thank you today that, oh, God, you never left us. You never left us alone, but you continue, God, to be right there with us. For that reason, we say thank you. And so, God, we ask these and all other blessings in the precious and almighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And our spiritual soul said, amen. Amen and amen. Thank God for prayer this morning. We want to get ready to go to the Word of God. And we want you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to spend a little time in the Gospel of Matthew. And because in these times that we're living in, many times people are sensitized because of the things that are going on in this world. Many of you have mentioned the flooding that took place in the metropolitan area this past week. I've been going downtown in the metropolitan area to and from work for almost 40 years. I've never seen the flooding on major roads the way I saw it on last week. It was something to behold. And many of you talked about the fires that are engulfing the West Coast and fires that have never been seen like this before and that have darkened the skies and have caused people to be sensitized that there's something different that's happening in the country. Many of you have noted the continued hurricanes that continue to strike the Gulf Coast and the south of this country. And many of you have noted the climate changes, conditions that are happening in the north, where one day it can be 100 degrees, and then the following couple of days that it becomes 30 degrees and snowing. Many of you have realized that during the summer, the continuous heat waves of 90-degree days continue to strike record after record. And so there's concern about the earth. There's concern about the planet. It's concerned, and it has sensitized people to begin to start wondering how long can these people, the human race, continue under such conditions of floods and fires and climate change and earthquakes and pestilence and pandemics and people suffering from diseases all over this world. And so what happens is that people are sensitized and their attention is heightened because of the elements that are no longer normal or no longer the same or no longer what we're used to. They began to start asking the question, people that they know pray, people that they know go to church, people that they know worship, people that they know that have a relationship with God, the people that don't know or people that may not be as strong, they began to start asking, you know God, and I've heard about this in Revelation, I heard about this in the book of Genesis, I've heard about this in the book of Matthew, I've heard my mother or father or somebody talk about this, and they begin to start questioning and inquiring, is this the end time? Is this the time where God is going to destroy this earth? Is this the time when things are going to get so bad that people are no longer going to be able to survive? And because they're sensitized and because their attention has been heightened, it is up for the church, the people of God, to be able to have a grasp on the situation according to the word of God, that when people ask and when people approach us, that we'll have the word of God to be able to explain to them what is happening or what is going on and what to expect and how to respond when these things happen. And so it's important that we look at these things in the word of God so we'll have a strong foundation to be able to play our role in the work of God as these times come upon generation after generation. There was someone that asked about the book of Revelation that we studied many years ago, and so we were able to give them the title and the author of the book, that they were able to gather the book so they could research and study what's going on and what God says about the end times. And so in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, we want to look at what God was telling his disciples about the end time. Amen. And we're going to also look at a couple of verses in the book of Revelation to give us an understanding of what's going on, give us an understanding of how we should be able to handle it and what we should do during these times. Amen? But before we go any further, let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to be able to stand and to declare your word. Father, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins, O God, that you would be faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. O God, that I might be a pure vessel used by you. O God, that the sinners would be converted, the saints would be edified. But most of all, God, you would receive honor and glory to your name. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. In this word, we look at the gospel according to Matthew, 24th chapter. And as you look at this 24th chapter, we see that Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. And as he has this conversation, he begins to let them know that there's going to come a time when the earth as we know it will be no more. In other words, what Jesus is letting them know, that everything that you see, the buildings that you worship, the tabernacle that you worship in, the grass that you look at, the trees, the nature that you live in, there's going to come a time when there's not going to be these things anymore. And that's what sensitizes people. That's what gets people's attention heightened. That's what gets people concerned about time and the hours and the days, and to realize that Jesus put an expiration reality on this earth. Amen. The only one that knows when the exact expiration date and time is God the Father, but Jesus puts it out there that there's an expiration time period coming for this earth. Amen. And he goes on to warn and counsel and console those that are in this period where there will be an expiration time on the earth that they live, of how they should live, what's going on, how they should live, and what they should do about this expiration time that's coming on this earth. Amen? And so when we begin at verse 1, Matthew 24, beginning at verse 1, and I'll be reading the King James and also referring the NIV for reference. He says in verse 1 of chapter 24, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. In other words, they were showing him something. They were showing him something that they thought was of substance, was of importance, and how it was, or how good it was, or how bad it was. And many times in our lives, there's things that are good, there's things that are bad. And so what we have to do is we have to learn to put them into proper perspective according to the word of God. And so in chapter 24, verse 2, it says, and Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? In other words, he's pointing to what they were saying was important, these buildings of the temple. And I laugh sometimes of this pandemic where we're not even worshiping in these temples and these great big houses of worship or the small houses of worship, and how important they were at the time when we were in them. But now we're not in them. It seems like, amen, that our focus is more on God and less on the building. And so Jesus says, see all these things. He says, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. In other words, Jesus said, all these temples, all this stuff, not one of them is going to be a stone on the other. They all shall be thrown down. In other words, here is the perspective of this earth. This earth was cursed back in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve fell short of God's glory in the Garden of Eden, that the ground, the earth, was cursed because of sin that entered into the world through their sinful disobedience to God. Back to chapter 24, verse 3 says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And in other words, what Jesus had told them about this expiration date of the earth, about the time when there no stone will be able to stand on another, they got concerned. Their senses were heightened. They became sensitized, and they wanted to know more about what was going on. And they asked the question, and what shall be a sign of the coming of the end of the world. Many people don't even know that verse is in there. That the disciples were concerned about the coming of the end of the world. And many people you go to school with, your neighbors, your people in your family, many people that you might go to work with, they have been sensitized because of the pandemic, because of the flood, because of the hurricane, because of the pestilence, because of the compound problems that are happening multiple times and at the same time. They want to understand what is going on at the end of the world. And so we as the people of God, the disciples, the followers of God, we should be able to give an account of what's happening, what God is doing, and how we should respond when people say, what is this that's happening, this expiration of the end of the world? And in verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And this is the issue that the church has to understand, is we have to be willing to be equipped to be able to tell people what exactly is happening, because there are many people that will come and many prophets and false prophets that will come to deceive people, to take advantage of them, that they would not be prepared, that they would not understand and be prepared to respond when this does happen. And so he's telling his disciples, don't be deceived, take heed. And he goes on to explain to them in verse 5, he says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. And verse 6 says, he shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye not be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And so Jesus is comforting them and let them know that these things will have to happen, but the end is not yet. In other words, in God's time, in God's plan, there's some events that have to happen, but the end is not yet. He's consoling their sensitivity. He's consoling their heightened awareness of that there's an expiration date, Lord have mercy, on this earth. There's an expiration date on this heaven and this earth that we are familiar with. There's an expiration date that is coming, but God says it's not yet. And so in verse 7, he says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. He says, all these are the beginning of sorrow. In other words, these things are happening. They're beginning to fall into place. And what is happening is as they're falling into place, God is getting people's attention so they can understand that it's time for them to get right. It's time for them to get on God's time. It's time for them to get on God's plan. It's time for them to get right with the Lord, because the expiration date, nobody knows. And so God allows these things to happen so people will be heightened, that people will be concerned to understand this might be it. And so because this might be it, it's time for me to get my house in order. It's time for me to get on God's plan. It's time for me to get on God's time. It's time for me to get in God's way. And it's time for me to seek what God wants me to seek. And God allows these things to happen so people will understand their frailty. They'll understand the time of expiration is at hand or is near. And so it's time, amen, for them to say, God, how should I handle this? What should I do while these things happen? And so in verse 9, he says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. It's going to come a time when God's people are standing and proclaiming the truth, and God's people are proclaiming the word of God, and God is calling people out who are hypocrites and those that are liars and those that are deceivers and those that are doing everything that are contrary to the word of God, those that will lie and those that will turn their back and put their heads in the sand when people are hungry or people are dying or there's fires and there's floods and there's all kinds of things that are changing so that they can remain in power, they can remain in wealth, and that they can remain as the ones that would try to tell you that they have the handle on it or they have the ones that are in control, and if you listen to them that you'll be all right. God says there'll come a time when you begin to speak to these people and tell them that there is but one God and God is in control, that there is but one God and him only we should serve, that you will begin to get persecuted for standing up against their hatred and their hypocrisy. It says, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And verse 11, it says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And verse 12, it says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of man shall wax cold. And verse 13, he says, but he that shall endure to the end, come on now, the same shall be saved. And so we have to let them know that even though we're in the midst of this world that has an expiration date, amen, that's not the end of our destiny, and we just have to endure along with the things that are going on. We have to play our role and play our part in God's plan, and we have to endure in the end. We have to endure the hatred. We have to endure the lovelessness. We have to endure those things that the false prophets say. We have to endure it because God needs someone to testify and tell the truth of what's going on. We have to get on God's time and God's plan to allow people to understand that those who follow God, those who trust God and his plan of salvation through his son Jesus Christ, those who endure to the end, in verse 13 he says, shall be saved. And what that does is it gives us a invigoration of hope that our living and our labor and our worship and our obedience to God is not in vain. So what does God want us to do? In verse 14, it says, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. In other words, God wants us to be a witness. God wants us to preach the kingdom of God. God wants us to preach the gospel. Why? We're going through these trials and tribulation. God wants us to endure in spite of the hatred, in spite of the lovelessness, in spite of the false prophets, in spite of the hypocrisy that's in this world, in spite of the things that are happening. God says, I want you to stand firm, and I want you to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and I want you to understand that you are to be a witness to every nation. And he says, after the gospel is preached to every nation, he says, then shall the end come. But the issue is we don't know what the expiration date is. Only God knows what the expiration date is. That's why it's important for us to get on his time frame, to get into his will, because he is the only one that knows when the witness every nation has been witnessed. There's going to be a period of time where God is going to rapture the church. In other words, the church will be called up to meet him in the air, and those that are dead in Christ will be called up, and then in the dispensation of grace will end, and then the tribulation period will come for this earth. That's when we people start talking about death and hell and judgment and people wanting to die and can't die. When this tribulation period comes after the church has been raptured, but until then we are to endure and we are to preach and teach the gospel, because God's got a plan in his own time and his own way. God says, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In other words, God sits on the outside of time and he knows when it's gonna begin, and he knows when it's gonna happen, when it's going to end at the same time. And so that's what we should be doing. We should be preaching the gospel and witnessing to all the nations. And then once the gospel has been preached and the witness has been given to all nations, he says, then shall the end come. But we don't know when that's going to be completed. We don't know when that expiration time is going to happen. So in verse 15, he says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolate spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Who readeth, let him understand. In other words, when you see it standing in the door, when you see it approaching, he says, then in verse 16, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountain. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house, out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation. What about the tribulation period? Such as was not seen in the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. In other words, this tribulation period of God showing himself mighty to those that were hypocrites, those that were liars, those that were deceivers, those that didn't believe in him, those that didn't get on his time frame, those that he gave room to repent but didn't repent. He said, this is where the tribulation on this earth period will begin. He says, when you see these things, when these things begin to happen on this earth, that's when you know that the end of this earth is coming to an end. Or as they asked the questions earlier in this chapter, the end of the world will come again. And in verse 22, it says, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be short. In other words, God is still going to have some grace and mercy. But those that are enduring to the end, those that are preaching and teaching the gospel, it won't be in vain. There'll be some folk, Lord have mercy, God's elect, amen, that will be able to endure. But God won't allow you to get too weary that you won't be able to endure. And so God will shorten this period of time of this great tribulation. And in verse 23, it says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. My brothers and sisters, this is a sobering period of time, where there are false prophets and false Christ that are telling people, don't worry about it. God loves everybody, and God's judgment's not coming. You can do and say whatever you want, or there is no God. And then there's some that saying they are Christ and they are the Messiah. And God says that they'll be so convincing, their lies and their deceit will be so convincing, like Satan's lies and Satan's deceit in the book of Genesis was so convincing to Adam and Eve, that he will apply to the worst things of men and their worst actions. But he said he could fool the very elect if it were possible. But God has placed in us his spirit, that we will be able to be discerning. But we got to study his word. We got to learn his word. We got to be equipped that when these false Christs and these false prophets and these signs and wonders come, that we won't be deceived, that God's people won't be deceived about what is happening, what they're saying on the news, or what they're saying in the churches, or what they're saying on the street, or what they're saying with the false prophets, that we would know the word of God ourselves. And we won't be deceived. In verse 25, he says, behold, I have told you before. In verse 26, he says, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, don't go out to the desert. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. They say, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh, this is what Jesus is saying, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, when Jesus comes to rapture his church, you will know it. You will see it. As far as the east and as far as to the west, you'll understand and you'll see the real deal. You won't be deceived. You won't be mistaken of who he is. but you got to be equipped. You got to know these things for yourself. You got to know the word for yourself. You got to understand when people's sensitivity is heightened, when people's concern is heightened, that we direct them to the word of God and not what thus said man, but what thus said the Lord. He says it's going to be so obvious that in verse 28, so for wherever the carcass is, there will be eagles be gathered together. In other words, when nature has an animal to fall, the vultures, they come and they know, amen, you don't have to call them. That it's obvious that when the vultures are gathering, there's death. And Jesus is letting them know that there won't be any doubt. There won't be any question. When he comes, you'll know that he is coming. In verse 29, it says, immediately the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of God of man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In verse 31, he says, and he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds of from one end of heaven to the other. In verse 32, he says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. He's teaching here. He says, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. In other words, there are going to be indications. Just like when you know summer is coming, when that fig tree has its branch tender, he said, you'll understand that these are the times, these are the things that are happening before. They have not happened yet, but if you look around and you look close, you can tell that the days are getting short, the time is getting short, the expiration date is coming, and so we have to be prepared, we have to be equipped, we have to be ready to give an account, to preach and teach the gospel, to tell somebody who's sensitive, have been sensitized, who have been in a place where they're trying to figure out what's going on. When we see these things coming, we must be equipped to be able to tell them what's happening. And so in verse 33 says, so likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Let me read this again. So likewise, ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Again, nobody knows the expiration date, but you can tell by the signs that it is near. In verse 34, he says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And in verse 35, he gives us an assurance of the expiration date. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away. In other words, this earth that we're standing on, this earth that we're breathing on, this heaven that we understand and we see right now, it shall pass away, but the words shall pass. God's words, my words shall not pass away. In verse 36, he says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And he says, this is what we should be mindful of. We should be concerned about that people are not paying attention, that people are not taking God serious, that God's people are not taking him serious. That people are going about doing their own thing, not looking at the signs of the time, not looking at God's plan, and the expiration for this earth is coming to an end. In verse 38, he says, for as in the days that they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They ridiculed and they mocked and they scorned that the day of the Lord was coming. But when he entered into the ark, in verse 39, it says, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And took them all away. And took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This is why people need to be serious about God's time frame. Need to be serious about God's plan. Need to be serious about telling people what's happening and what is near. And letting people know that no man knows the time nor the hour but the Father, and that we need to make sure, amen, that we're understanding and prepared to be able to move when God says move. in verse 40, he says, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And so he says in verse 42, he says, watch therefore, for you know what, not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. A lot of people want to know where that term came. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and a wise servant? Who is his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? In other words, who is the faithful servant? In verse 46, he says, blessed is that servant who the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. The faithful servant, the one that was busy doing the work of the Lord when he comes. In verse 48, he said, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth cometh, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink, and the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh for him, and in that hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him as a portion with the hypocrites, that shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This world is coming to an end, but only God knows when it's coming to an end. And so it's up to us to be prepared, to continue, to give the time that is necessary to be aware of what's happening. So you're looking for a title to this sermon. It simply comes from verse 44 that says, be ye also ready. We know in verse 36, he says, but of that day and hour, no man knoweth, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. No man knoweth the hour. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father. So you got to go down to verse 44. It says, therefore be ye also ready. You're going to have to endure some time. We're going to have to endure some trouble. We're going to have to endure some struggles. But we should be able to have this word in Matthew 24, to be able to explain to people what's going on, people whose senses have been heightened, people whose attention has been gotten, people who are of the elect of God, that God's gospel that's going to be preached around the globe will respond to his word. The people whose attention have been heightened, the people whose attention has been gotten, God is expecting his church to be able to preach and teach to them and tell them what's happening, that the signs of the times are here. But no man knows the time nor the hour but the Father. And so we have to be ready when the expiration comes. I told you we're going to go to Revelation. I'm going to let y'all go. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 1. And it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And you say, well, this is fine, preacher, but what's going to happen to me? The heaven and earth is gone. What's going to happen to me? Verse 2, it says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of the heaven, prepared for the bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Somebody needs to get happy. I'm going to read that again. He said, no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, shall there be no more pain, and the former things are passed away. Somebody needs to get happy. We need to stop holding so close to this earth and this heaven, because this earth and this heaven is going to pass away. This body that we're living in is going to go back to the dust from whence it came. We cannot expect this body, amen, to be in the new heaven and the new earth. God said we'll be changed in the moment and twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall get up first and be changed, but we got to be ready when Jesus comes. Lord Hammer. In verse 5, he says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But we got to be ready when Jesus comes. We got to be on his time frame. Because there's going to be a time where that lake of fire that you've seen out in California, on those video footages of it, the whole West Coast on fire, don't think that's the lake of fire that God has, because that's going to pass away. And when you look at Revelation 20, there's going to be a time where God's going to judge the hypocrites, the liars, the unjust. He's going to judge death in the grave. And what he's going to do is he's going to put all of those in the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. Look at chapter 20, verse 13. And behold, the sea gave up the dead. Revelation 20, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I know people don't want to hear about lake of fire. People don't want to hear about death and hell. But dying and going to hell isn't the end. You're going to die, go to hell, be judged, and then be cast into the lake of fire with the Antichrist, with death and hell, and be separated from God eternally. And so this is why God is showing the signs. This is why God is letting man see what's happening on the earth, because he doesn't want anyone to find to have a second judgment where they are dying, going to hell, and going to the lake of fire. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. And so he's showing time. He's giving us space to be able to repent, to be able to turn back to him, to be able to stop being the hypocrites, the liars, the non-believers. God is giving space. But when that time comes, and only God knows, we need to be ready. We need to be also ready. Because we don't want to be in this condition. Chapter 21, verse 8, Revelation 21, verse 8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and the liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's right out of the Word of God. The book of Matthew, chapter 24, the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and chapter 21. This is what's going on. God is showing us signs that the expiration is coming on this earth. Those that are liars, those that are hypocrites, those that are deceivers, those that are false prophets, those that are spiritually wicked, those that are spiritual wickedness in high places, death and the grave, all of those are going to be judged and put into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. This is the second death, where you will be eternally separated from God forever. And so this is who we, as the witness, the church of God, need to be able to understand what's going on, be able to tell people what they should do, and be also ready when it happens, when it takes place. And so when we see these things in the world, we can go to the Word of God and we can have an assurance that God is in control, that God is doing his place, doing his work and his time and his power, and that soon these things will come to an end that are not pleasing in the sight of God. And so we have a window, we have a space, we have some grace to be able to get it right with God, to be also ready that when he cracks the sky, Lord have mercy. When the hand of grace is withdrawn and all these things that he said and predicted from Genesis to Revelation begin to start taking place and come to pass, that we'll have a home in glory where God will wipe the tears from our eyes, that there'll be no more sickness, that there'll be no more dying, that there'll be no more pain, that God will be our God and we will be his people, and we'll be able to experience a new heaven and a new earth, because the old things would have passed away. And behold, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll be able to experience God all day long. Won't need to be any sun there, because the Son of God will light the new heaven and the new earth. And we'll be able to worship and praise God, where Job declared the wicked will cease from troubling and our weary souls will be at rest. So we have to be ye also ready. Get into the Word. Study that chapter 24. Study that chapter 20 of Revelation and 21. Understand what's going on. We don't know the time. When people ask me, I say, no man knows the time nor the hour. But I can point you to the Word of God, and he'll show you that there's some signs of these things that are happening. And every generation will get worse and worse until God's time says enough. But this heaven and this earth will pass away. The Word of God will stand forever. So be also ready. Amen? Amen. Didn't mean to keep you that long, but just wanted you to be equipped. Just wanted you to be ready. Just wanted you to understand what's going on, so you can tell somebody that you can be that witness to preach and teach that gospel. Because people's senses are being sensitized. People's curiosity, people's attention has been got. And so we should be able to tell them, this is what's happening. We don't know. We know the Word of God. We don't want you to be deceived. We want you to follow the wrong people. We want you to follow the Word of God and be ready. Be like that man that knows that something's coming. Be like that woman that knows something's coming. And so when God comes, that you'll be found doing his work and doing his will. And when you're found doing his work and doing his will, he'll make you ruler over many. Amen? He'll bless you. He'll bless your labor in the Lord. He'll bless you and reward you for being faithful in these difficult times. Amen? Just want you to be equipped. Just want you to be ready to give an account. No, you're saying, Pastor, you're preaching fire and brimstone today, but I just want you to make sure as many folks as you know, as many folks as you can, that you can tell them about the good news of God. That they won't be confused, that they won't be scared, that they won't be in a place where they can be deceived about what's going on in this world. That they would know without a shadow of a doubt, amen, God is controlling, God is coming back for people, for a church without spot or wrinkle. This heaven that we're standing, every church building, every synagogue, every building that's on this earth is going to be thrown down. And this heaven and this earth was going to go away. Amen? And those that love it and celebrate it and think this is it, they're going to go away. Death, hell, all the issues of this earth are going to be thrown into that lake of fire. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready when Jesus comes. When Jesus comes. Amen? Let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your word, and we thank you for your spirit. that has given us, oh God, the ability to hear your word and understand your word, and to be able to apply your word. Oh God, we thank you that your word says no man knows the hour. But God, help us to realize and to see the signs. The signs, oh God, that time is winding up and time is coming to an end where this earth and this heaven will no longer can afford us a home. God, help us to be that witness that you're looking for, to be able to preach the gospel of the kingdom, gospel of the kingdom to every nation. God, that they would have a chance and an opportunity to come to know you as Lord and Savior of their life, that they will be able to avoid the judgment of this world. They will be able to avoid the second death of being separated from you eternally. And so, God, help us to be those witnesses that are found doing your work and doing your will until you come. Help us to be also ready, oh God, and look forward to that day where you wipe the tears from all our eyes, where there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more pain, and that you will be our God, and oh God, that we will be called your son. God, we're looking forward to that day, but until then, help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And now may your love, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord sing together. Amen. 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 Do yourself a favor. Call somebody. Let them know that you love them in Jesus' name. Remind them, amen, as they're fasting and praying, to be also ready, because no man knows the day nor the hour. But God surely, surely is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. God bless you. May heaven ever smile upon you. May you have a blessed week. In Jesus' name, amen.